Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful weekend. It's Monday, September 22nd. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Now, coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from wildlife campaigners following the news the expansion of Gatwick Airport is going ahead. And we'll have a wrap-up of the record-breaking weekend for Gillingham. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Swanscombe man says he's determined not to leave his creekside home despite being more or less fenced in. Bob Thwaites has lived off-grid on the Swanscombe Peninsula since 1991, and although he has no permission to be there, he's previously never been told to leave. The area of land has now been bought by another company who have removed access to the nearby cruising club and Bob's home. But the 78-year-old says he won't go until he's told to by a court. He's been speaking to Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV.
If I had to leave here, it would be, break my heart, really, because I love the place. I absolutely love it. I love the solitude. I love what was being left alone. The place is, all the trees I've grown, there's, 50, 60 foot trees I've grown from twigs. They're all, I love them all. I love everything about the place. And it'd just be a tragedy and unnecessary because I'm not in the way of anybody. I'm not harming anybody. And the same with the club as well. I'm separate to the club. I mean, I was living here before. I joined the club. I joined the club afterwards. My family are worried about me anyway now. Because of all this, they're wondering what it's doing to me. And it's not doing me any good. I must admit. I might. People tell me I look good for my age and all that, but I am my age. And it tires me out and it gives me... I've been doing a lot of sleeping since all this happened. I've been doing a lot of sleeping and also I've had headaches. I've had more headaches than I've ever had because of this. It's just the thought of it all, the thought of the unfairness. It's just unfair. It's just totally unfair because there's no need for all this.
Can you speak a bit about how much of a home this is to you? It's 34 years. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, it's been my home all these years. I came here originally because I left home and I was still paying a mortgage on the house and supporting the children. To be quite honest, I couldn't afford to live anywhere else. And I was working for BT and I actually run a cable down here and that's how I found this place. So that's when I started living here. But I lived here originally out of necessity, but now, it turned into a love of the place, And as I say, it's off grid. There's no, I've got no facilities here or anything like that. And I don't want them. I don't need them. I'm not materialistic. I don't need anything. If I get a tool, it's probably a second-hand tool I get. I'm not interested in anything new.
Taking a look at another of our top stories today, and it's been confirmed Gatwick Airport is going to get a second runway. The £2.2 billion project has been approved by the Transport Secretary. It will allow for another 100,000 flights a year, raising concerns about noise and pollution for residents in West Kent. Liz Lockwood is from campaign group CAGNY. She's disappointed following the announcement by Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander.
Heidi's decision's not unexpected. She did give us a forewarning earlier in the year that she was minded to approve it. But to be honest, it is absolutely the worst news for Southeast England. We're already overcrowded in terms of traffic on our roads and airplanes in our skies. And I think in allowing the second runway proposal to go ahead, she's just going to condemn the residents of the Southeast to much more inconvenience and noise disruption, as well as it being totally out of her government's climate change policy. So it's really, really disappointing that she's obviously picked a fight with the Southeast of England because she thinks she can win.
What's the next step for your
Well,
campaign group now that this announcement's been made?
so we think the decision is incorrect. It's based on flawed evidence. And that opens it up to a judicial review, so that we think the Secretary of State has made the decision in error based on flawed evidence. And so we have started, and we've already given Heidi Alexander notice that we're going to do this. We have started the process to undertake a judicial review, which is a legal challenge to the decision. And we have some a huge amount of support and evidence to say that the decision is wrong. So we are going to rely on the process that the courts will put us through, but that's what we will do, because we think that it is absolutely criminal that this decision is left unchallenged, and we think we're going to be successful if we challenge it.
Kent Online News.
Broadstairs teenager who lost control of her car while over the drink drive limit has been banned from the roads. Brooke Bicknell crashed the Ford Focus into bushes on the A257 in Wingham at the end of August. The 18-year-old from North Downhill has been given a 12-month driving ban and fined £230. A motorist who was found to be over the drug drive limit when he was pulled over by police near Sittingbourne has been banned from the roads for 32 months. Officers noticed the Ford Transit as it came off the M2 onto the A249 in February and suspected it had cloned number plates. The 38-year-old driver from Eltham admitted a number of offences, including driving without a licence or insurance. A Deal woman who was banned from contacting her ex after carrying out a drunken attack has admitted breaching the restraining order. Nicole Lawrence narrowly avoided jail after a court heard she bit her victim's cheek during a prolonged assault in September last year. The 29-year-old from Cavill Square was arrested in June after he was found in her home. She's been ordered to do 40 hours of unpaid work. A poll has found a quarter of people think the next Archbishop of Canterbury should talk less about political topics. Justin Welby's replacement is expected to be named in the coming weeks, nearly a year after he announced he was standing down.
Kent Online News.
Serious questions are being asked about survey work taking place on the main road between Medway and Maidstone as drivers face hour-long delays. 12 weeks of lane restrictions are in place on Bluebell Hill as experts assess the ground before a major improvement project can take place. Nicola's been speaking to Chatham and Aylesford MP Tris Osborne, who's written to the County Council about it.
We've had loads of emails on this matter from people who are trying to get kids to school in the morning, visiting hospitals, visiting friends, businesses who are struggling to get their workers in and to transport goods. So general, no one likes roadworks, except perhaps those who are on them. But actually the feedback has been negative in the sense that people are waiting not just 10, 15 minutes in this case, but sometimes up to an hour to get to their destination. So this has been painful for a lot of people, and you can see it all across our social media platforms, Facebook included.
And probably what's even more frustrating is that this is survey work. So nothing's actually going on that's going to impact anyone in the long term. This is just work being done to see if big roadworks can take place in future. We all know Bluebell Hill is incredibly busy. It's an important key route from Medway to Maidstone. But do you think, though, that survey work was necessary, or what could have been done differently?
We know that we do need to upgrade the junction, especially with the Lower Thames Crossing coming in the next decade and the increasing amount of freight movement that we're seeing from Europe. So no one is in denial that the junction needs an upgrade. And no one is in denial that we need the engineers to get access to do that work. The issue that we have is the duration of this work, the timing. Could this have happened over the summer holidays when perhaps people were on holiday without going to school and didn't have the demand on the network? Do we have enough engineers on site to be doing this? So could we double the number of engineers so that we can get this done in 6 weeks? And the reason I say that is because this is a major junction. It has thousands of vehicle movements every hour, and it's a major link road, as you've just said. So we need to ensure that traffic is free flowing where possible. And those are questions I've asked the portfolio holder, Peter Osborne, whether or not he can just go back and look at the planning and implementation of this. We all acknowledge we need to do the work, but could it have been done in a more smart way?
KCC previously apologised for any disruption caused. A dog is going to be put down after attacking a child and her dad at Folkestone Market. The dog jumped up and bit an 8-year-old girl, leaving her with a wound to her cheek and abdomen. The dog's owner, 46-year-old Mohammed Kadir, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been given a suspended prison sentence and banned from keeping dogs for 5 years. A block of flats in Broadstairs has been evacuated after a fire broke out in a kitchen. Crews were called to tackle the blaze on Victoria Parade yesterday evening. No one was hurt and the cause of the fire is not yet known. Elsewhere, firefighters have been called to Ashford after a shed caught alight. No one was hurt in the blaze on Gordon Close yesterday evening. It's unclear how it started.
Kent Online News.
A Kent MP is calling for a crackdown on the number of HMOs being built in Gillingham. Nishaba Khan represents Gillingham and Raynham. She says there are too many houses of multiple occupancy cashing in on the area. She's met Medway Council's Chief Planning Officer Dave Harris to ask the authority to take urgent action. She's been speaking with reporter Robert Boddy.
I've been working with Medway Council on this for a while, particularly the councillors, and I know that they are taking it incredibly seriously. As you'll note, there is a joint statement that's been put out by myself and Councillor Luella Prenter, who is Cabinet Member for Housing at Medway, where we talk about the fact that we do need to do something quite urgently around the HMO issue, particularly in Gillingham. My meeting with Dave was to look at the options that are available to us. And I know the council are looking at a directive four or a clause four, which will allow them to take better control of the HMO situation in particular parts of Medway. So I'm hoping that this is something that they put into place pretty quickly. And what that will mean is that any HMOs, regardless of size or what, or if they meet the threshold or not, will have to come through a planning committee. And that gives the council more control. It also allows the council to put caps on. So if there's already a number of HMOs in a particular road, they can then say, actually, this will create the cumulative impact of this would be detrimental to the community. So it's legislation and policy that has been used in other local authorities quite effectively. And I'm hoping that Medway can introduce that pretty quickly. So the conversation with Dave Harris was about understanding how that could apply to Medway, and to also discuss when the Cabinet may be bringing this forward, and to also press upon the urgency to do this quickly, so sooner rather than later. There is a fast track process by which you can put this in place, and that's what I'm urging the council to do, because I don't think that we can wait too long to get a real sense and understanding of what is happening in Gillingham and to be able to manage it properly.
And as you said earlier, I think, you know, I think you want to be clear, you're not against HMOs in principle in their entirety. It's about making sure that those HMOs are of a decent enough quality for the people living in them, but also that it meets the housing needs of people in Gillingham.
Absolutely. And many people will know about the challenges that Gillingham faces. So we've been doing a lot of work. Myself, working alongside the councillors, have been doing lots of work around what we can do to improve Gillingham, and there's been a steady decline in Gillingham over decades, particularly under the previous Conservative administration and the previous government. And so therefore, we've really got to turn the tide. And part of doing that is making sure that we've got good quality housing in our community. It's a huge part of the Gillingham community, and we've got to get it right. There are so many parts to this, but the issue we've got at the minute is that the council has very limited control over what types of properties Gillingham is able to host, because they don't have these policies in place. So that's why this could be a huge step change. And it's not to say that we will say no to every single HMO or that there should never be a HMO, because they play a role within the housing market. But it is about having a sensible approach. And if you look at the size and particularly the scale at which HMOs are coming forward in Gillingham, in quite small terrace properties, to be honest, it is changing the community dramatically and quickly, and also offering a low standard type of property for many people. It's not the case for all developers and all delivery of HMOs, but for many people, it's offering a low standard of house and a property, which is just unacceptable.
ITS's figures show there are currently 255 properties across Medway which are registered as HMOs. Meanwhile, a derelict building in Folkestone is going to be turned into accommodation for up to 27 people. The property in Guildhall Street was previously a motorcycle dealership, but has fallen into disrepair in recent years. Permission's now been granted to convert it into a 14-bedroom house in multiple occupation. A second bid to build homes behind a petrol station on a road between Canterbury and Hythe has been approved. Workshops are going to be demolished to make way for four new properties on land behind the 6 Mile Garage in Stelling Ninnis. You can see pictures of what it might look like in the story on our website. A cocktail bar in Gravesend Town Centre has launched a bid to stay open until 3 a.m. Bosses at the Grape so they can meet customer demand on Fridays and Saturdays and secure secure their future. Council's environmental health team have objected, saying it could promote a public nuisance. A decision is due next week.
Kent Online News.
Six US Army Chinooks have been spotted flying over Kent. The aircraft were seen from various parts of the county yesterday. It's understood they may have been in the UK to support Donald Trump during his visit. You can see video at Kent Online. A controversial underwater sculpture in Canterbury has been shortlisted for a major art award. The Alluvia is a lifelike model of a woman which sits on the bed of the River Stour near the Westgate Towers. Some have described it as creepy and disturbing, but the work's been put forward for a prize at the Public Statues and Sculpture Association's annual awards. A health campaigner who fought to reopen a Kent A&E department has died at the age of 93. Betty Renz was instrumental in keeping emergency facilities at the QEQM hospital in Margate in the 60s. She's been described as a legend with a terrific sense of humour. Now, the Baton of Hope arrives in Kent today as part of its tour of the UK. The initial one was in 2023, but this is the first time it's reached the county. More than 130 residents will carry the baton as it travels from Medway to Maidstone, then on to Canterbury and Thanet. It arrived at Mid-Kent College in Gillingham this morning. Nicola was there to find out more.
So the Baton of Hope is the UK's largest suicide prevention initiative and is designed to change the narrative about suicide. Let me tell you a bit about the baton itself firstly. It's a bit like the Olympic torch actually that you might have seen carried around Kent ahead of the London Games in 2012. It's made from a blend of precious metals and beautifully designed, and everything on the baton points upwards to represent the journey of hope, moving away from the darkness of despair to a brighter future with encouragement and support. The charity was set up by Mike McCarthy, who lost his 31-year-old son Ross in 2021 following a battle with his mental health. He left his family a heartfelt request to campaign for better mental health support. Mike has done just that and has been telling me what this year's Baton Tour means to him.
It's hard to put it into words because, you know, this is very personal for me. It's a national campaign and we want to, you know, speak to everybody because suicide is everybody's business. But from a personal perspective, my son took his life 4.5 years ago. He left a goodbye letter in which he asked us to continue the fight for mental health support. As he said, that's just not there. He suffered from severe depression and was put on a 6-month waiting list for treatment. And what I discovered after we lost our beloved Ross was that, you know, we were just one family, he was just one man, but there are hundreds of thousands of people across the United Kingdom who are affected by this, and it's something that we've traditionally just brushed under the carpet. And the Baton of Hope seeks to bring it out into the open and encourage honest, healthy conversations.
As you said, more than 130 people will carry the baton throughout today. Many of those have been affected by suicide or mental health struggles. While in Medway, the baton is visiting the Great Lines Heritage Park and Chatham Marina before travelling by boat to Rochester High Street and Castle. We can hear from two of today's baton bearers from Medway.
My name's Megan. I work as the team manager for Gillingham Safe Haven, which is based in the community centre, which is sort of the heart of Gillingham and has been for nearly 20 years. I'll be thinking of one of the people we lost at around Christmas a few years ago because he'd moved away before we turned into a safe haven. And I'll be thinking about one of my friends that I lost to suicide when I was a teenager. And I'll be thinking about my partner who has spent many, many nights with me making sure I didn't end my own life.
My name's Amelia. I'm part of the Youth Parliament and I'm the youth representative for Medway. So the youth counsellor recommended me to do it because my manifesto was all about bringing mental health change for young people. So I thought it'd be a really good thing for me to do to get my face out there and obviously try to make a difference. Mental health and suicide are the number one cause of deaths in young people, and I think it's important that we start to talk about that and make a difference about it because we should hear more about it. And yes, we need to start standing up for it.
It'll then make its way to Maidstone with stop-offs at the Gallagher Stadium, County Hall and Moat Park. It then heads to Canterbury Christchurch University before ending the day in Thanet. And the day is going to end with an Evening of Hope event at Margate's Dreamland. Maggie Harris is part of the Midlife Movers who will be performing. She's also one of today's baton bearers.
In the late 60s, I lost my dad to suicide. And it was in the 60s, it was a taboo subject, couldn't talk about it. And it's very dear to my heart, so I'll be doing this one for my dad.
During the tour today, there's also going to be loads of information on what support is available from charities and organisations across Kent. If you're in need of help or want to speak to someone, there are contact details on the Baton of Hope website. Or if you want to see the Baton en route today, just head to batonofhopekentandmedway.co.uk to find details of the route.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham have done it. They've broken the club record for the longest run without a defeat. A 3-1 win at Newport County on Saturday means they've now gone 21 games unbeaten. The Gills were 1-0 down after 35 seconds before two goals from Bradley Dack and one from Johnny Smith sealed the victory. Gareth Ainsworth spoke to reporter Luke Cordell after the game.
You've rightly praised the players for what they've done, but you've been in the job 6 months and you've already led the club to a historic day. That must be quite pleasing.
Yeah, listen, it's not been hard when you've got people buying in like they do, you know, and I think it was. Walked in and I've got a brilliant assistant and great staff, and I remember the first meeting when I sat down with all the staff and said, right, what's the issue? It was probably, I've heard this, I've heard that. And the staff, fair play, they stuck up for themselves, stuck up for some of the players, and they came in and had to work things out quick. But they are a brilliant group. They really are. We've got something special here. I'm really excited about what this group can achieve, and it's nice to be part of it and to be that one. And I'm sure we'll come off the rails at some stage. You know, something will happen. We may lose again, and then I'll prove to them I've got their backs. You know, we'll go again and we'll pick it up again. But every single one of them gives everything for me every day. We do clips. They stay behind. They do the preparation right. They do everything. I mean, Ben Morris is there and Bradley Dack carrying ice pockets and stretches out. That's what we've got here. You don't see many teams doing that, and that's my boys, and I'm proud of them.
You spoke about Dackie in the week, didn't you, about how he's all in for this club. How fitting was it that it was two of his goals that helped them?
Yeah, what a day, you know, for Bradley Dack. You know, he scored two goals in the game that beats the record, and Glenn Morris saves a penalty. Them two, you know, they're just great, great characters, and you should be talking to them rather than me. So, yeah, but thank you. Thanks for the support. It's really good, everyone who came. And we want to go again next week against Harrogate.
Just one more for me. I think that's the fourth time you've come from behind as well, away from home this season. That says a lot about the boys, doesn't it?
Yeah, says a great deal. And this time we win rather than drawing, you know, Accrington, Tranmere, you know. But that's a magnificent win, you know, away from home at a team where I think we'll take points off teams, you know. They're definitely going to take points off teams. They'll get it right, Newport. They're okay. But today belongs to us.
Let's hear now from Bradley Dack, who scored two of the three goals.
Great day, obviously. It started a bit frantic, first minute conceding, but it just shows the character of the team, what we're building to come back and win 3-1. And then second half, we made it a bit more solid, defended well like we have all season. And yeah, it's obviously amazing to beat the record. To get 21 win, 21 undefeated is pretty amazing, all part of history. So yeah, everyone should be really proud of themselves from the club. And it's been a real team effort, and today was no different.
The turning point was the penalty save. Glenn's made a great save to his right hand side, but once we kind of got the equaliser, our kind of experience told on the pitch, and just gradually started to wear them down.
Yeah, aging like a fine wine, the cut man. It was a massive turning point, because 2-0 was obviously a lot different to 1-0. I know that's obvious, but yeah, to come back from 2 is difficult. So yeah, it gave us a real lift, and obviously grabbed the goal not long after. And then yeah, I think the experience, obviously we changed our shape, went to three in the middle, and it was a little bit better, a little bit easier. We got to grips with the game, and yeah, then our experience, our quality told, and yeah, like I said, we saw it out in the second half pretty easily.
The first goal was very similar to one earlier in the season, just kind of timing your run from outside the box and hoping the ball springs out to you. You've got a knack of doing that.
Yeah, I've made a career of it. So yeah, it was obviously I was in a lot of space on the edge of the box. Luckily it fell to me, and yeah, just about picking your spot, hitting the target, and managed to find a gap. And yeah, that kind of calmed us down a bit to get back to 1-1, obviously after they had missed a penalty. And then yeah, obviously got the two before the half. Johnny was an absolute screamer, brilliant finish, so really happy for him to get off the mark as well.
The record's brilliant, the 3 points is brilliant, but I'm sure you'll tell me we've only played 9 games, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so we've just got to go again next Saturday.
Yeah, there's 37 games left in this season, so we're nowhere near done what we want to do. We're just building towards being a better team than he was the game before.
The Jills are now 2 points clear at the top of League Two. And in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos have suffered back-to-back defeats in the Challenge Cup. They lost 4-1 to Chelmsford Chieftains on Saturday and were beaten 2-0 by Streatham Redhawks yesterday evening. The Mows will get their South Division 1 campaign underway this coming weekend. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.